Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Ches. Today's shiur Mirtzah Hashem will begin seven lines before they get wide. It's the last of the narrow lines of the Gemara. Seven lines to the last of the narrow lines. Before we get into the Gemara itself, we have a topic heading in the margin, and you'll see numbers 1 and 2. These are Shnei Maisim, two incidents, Shebohen, Mu'urav Rebbe. Rebbe, you'll see Rebbe Yudah Anossi is involved. Maisa Hasheni Masbir as Hanhogas Rebbe Barishon. The second Maisa will explain Rebbe's behavior in the first Maisa. Shebo Rebbe Lo Rotsa Lefarnes as Ami Oretz B'Shnei Batzores, where Rebbe did not want to support with food allocations the ignorant ones in the during years of Batsoris of famine, but Tainashain Puranas Bali Oilamela Bishvalmertz, with the claim that all troubles come to the world only because of Amaratsis. Now the Gemara. Rebbe Pasach Oitzoros Bishnei Batsoris. Rebbe opened up food supplies. Otsos are food storage facilities during years of famine. Omar, and he announced, Yikonsu Bali Mikra, Bali Mishnah, Bali Gemara. Let anyone who's learned Mikra, Torah Shebichsav, Mishnayis Gemara, Bali Halocha, Bali Agoda, Avali Amei Horetz Al Yikonsu, but the Amaratzim shall not come in. Dochak Rabbi Yonasu Ben Amro Ben Nichnas. Now, at this point, let us emphasize that he is entering incognito. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram pushed his way in, Omar Lo, and this Rabbi Yonasan said, Rebbe Parnaseni, support me. Omar Lo, Beni Korisa. So Rebbe asks him, well, did you learn Mikra? Omar Lo, Lav. No. Shon Isa, did you learn Mishnayas, Torah Shebal Peh? Omar Lo, Lav. No. Omar Im Kein, Bamea Farnasecha. Then on what ground should I support you? Omar Lo, Parnaseni, Kekelev Uch Oirev. Support me like a dog, and like the orev, a raven bird, parnasei, and with that request, Rebbe supported him. Also, the Nofik, after he left, Yosef Rebbe from Mitzdayer, Rebbe was seated, and he had second thoughts. He was bothered. Yomar oy li shenosati piti lamoratz. Woe unto me that I gave food, my bread, to the ignorant one. Omar lefoner Reb Shimon Rebbe, his son, Rebbe's son, Reb Shimon says, Shemo Yonis ben Amram Talmid Chohu, maybe that gentleman that came in incognito was really your Talmud, Yonis ben Amram, Sheinu Roitz Lehonis Mikovat Torah Miyomov, that what does not want to benefit from the honor of Torah, so that he didn't want to come in, even though he was a Torah scholar, he didn't want to receive food allocation because of his Torah knowledge, his Torah learning. Bodko v'yashkach, they checked it out, and in fact it was this Yonas and Mamram. Omar Rebbe, upon hearing that, he said, Yikonsu hakol. Then, you know, since there's a possibility that real Torah scholars will follow in that behavior, namely, will come in incognito, when they really are Torah knowledgeable and if I maintain my position of not feeding them, so they'll be deprived. So he opened the doors to all. Rebbe Litamei, Rebbe in his original thinking, not to be Mefarnes Amei Horetz, D'Omar Rebbe, Ein Purnes Bo Li'olam Ela B'Shvil Amei Horetz. Troubles do not come to the world other than because of the presence of ignoramuses. The matzav, the situation of Amaratzis, is that which brings Puronis Lo'olam. And now to illustrate that, Kahu Deme Klila, like an incident involving a tax monies that were collected to produce a crown for the king, called a crown tax. The Shadu Atveria, and they placed this tax on the population of Tveria. Also, Lekameh the Rebbe, the Amaratzim of Tveria came to Rebbe. We want the rabbis to contribute together with us in paying the tax. Rabbi said, no, the rabbis are not going to contribute. They don't have to. They're exempt from contributing. So they said, well, we're going to leave town then. So Rabbi said, go ahead, leave. Arku Palgehon. Half of the community of Amaratzim left. Dalua Palga. And lo and behold, the authorities reduced the tax by half. Osuano Palga Kami de Rebbe. Apparently, the remaining Amaratzim citizenry didn't make an association between the departure of half and the relief of half the tax. So the second half of the population, those that remained, came to Rebbe. Amalei leisu rabbanan baldon. We want the rabbis to pay along with us. No. Arukinon. They threatened them. Well, we're going to leave. Aroku. So go ahead and leave. Arkukula. And they all left. Pasha ukoves. There was one koves, often translated as a washman. He remained. Shadua koves. And the tax that the authorities wanted to collect was levied upon him. Ora koves poka klila, and that koves left town, and there was a total relief of any tax request. Omar Rebbe, Rebbe Yisem, Rebbe says, now you see, Shein Pornos Bolulim Elabishvil Amarets. You see from here that the troubles and pressures come to the world only because of the presence of Amarets. Amaratsim left. No more tax. The Mishnah made reference to length of dwelling in a town in order to be considered a member of the town and obligated to pay for maintenance of a town wall. How long is one to be in a city to be considered a member of the city? Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months. That is what we saw in the Mishnah. Viramini, and now we raise a contradiction. This Tanaic source deals with an Ir Hanidachas, a city of Jews that decided to become Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And the halacha is that if you have an Ir Hanidachas, all of the contents, the property, the portable property of the citizenry of the town is burnt, and the offenders are executed by the sword, by decapitation. If you have a situation of someone who is only a minority of the town engaged in Avodah Zarah, so then the halacha treats them as an individual who is Oyved Avodah Zarah. The property is preserved. It's not destroyed. It's not burnt. But the offender is executed by skila, by stoning. Now, with that background in mind, the source, Hachameres Vagamelis, these are donkey trains or camel trains, like you find in a caravan, Haiveres Mokum, that are traveling from place to place, Velona Besecha, and they spent the night in a town, Vehudcha Iman, and were convinced to do idolatry together with the townspeople. Hain Beskila Umamona Palat, they are not considered part of the town. Therefore, they are considered private people that violated Avodah Zarah. They are executed by Skila, but their money, their possessions are preserved. Ve'im nishto sham shloshim yom. If they, however, remained in that town 30 days, then hein b'sayfu mamon anovad. They're treated like members of the town. And we've dashed another 30 days, indicating that you become a member of the town, which results in a different punishment, a different execution, sayef, the sword or decapitation, and the destruction of their possessions. So what do you see? You see that to become part of a town, it's not Yud Beis Chodesh, but Shloshim Yom. Omar Rava Lo Kasha Ha Livnei Masa Ha Liyisuvei Masa. There are different categories of, we'll call it, of citizenship, of becoming considered part of a community. There's a title, there's a category called Bnei Masa, and a title called Yisuvei Masa. Yisuvei is Aramaic for Yoshvei Ho'ir in Hebrew. The pasuk that deals with Avodah Zarah, with Ir Hanidachas, it says Yoshvei Ho'ir. And in order to be classified as Yoshvei Ho'ir, in fact, 30 days is enough. To be considered Bnei Masa, which was the Mishnah standard for amount of time before taxes or wall maintenance costs are levied upon you, they're in fact 12 months. Ke Desanya, as is borne out in the following Tanaic source, Hamudur Hano Me'an Shehoir. If someone took an oath or took a vow not to benefit from Anshe Ho'ir, he swore not to benefit and used the term Anshe'ir, who is he restricted from? Kol Shenishta Sham Shemos Chodesh Also Lenos Mimenu. Anyone who has been in town for 12 months, so then you cannot benefit from him. Pochos Mikan Mutar. If a person has been in that town less than 12 months, and your vow was not to benefit from Anshe'ir, you are allowed to benefit from that kind of person. However, if you vowed Mi Yoshua Yir, not to benefit from someone who's a Yoshev Ho'ir, Kol Shenishta Shom Shloshim Yom Asur Lenos Mimenu, anyone who has been in town for 30 days, and there you've got your 30-day figure, you cannot benefit from him, Pochos Mikan Mutar Lenos Mimenu. But less than that, he's not considered Yoshvei Ir. So you see that the category of Yoshvei Ir is 30 days. The Gemara continues with a question. Ulechol mili mibo inun yud beis chodesh, and for all other costs, payments made to the municipal coffers, 12 months is what is necessary, and less than 12 months you would not have to pay. V'atanya. But we have the following source. And this source deals with other kinds of municipal collections. Shloshim yom l'tamchui. If a person has been in town for 30 days, he is expected to contribute to the ready-made food fund. That's the tamchui. That's where there's ready-made food distributed to people. Shlosha chadashim l'kupa. If a person has been 3 months in town, so then he has to contribute to the town's kupa. That's a cash charity fund. Shisha l'ksus. 6 months. If you have been in town that amount of time, so then you have to contribute to the clothing fund for the poor of that town. Tisha, 9 months in the community, likvura, for having to contribute to burials, to bury the poor. And shneim osar lepase ho'ir, 12 months, that's the figure we saw before, for pase ho'ir. There's a note that you can see in the Masoras HaShas, Ois Lamed, he says, Kroshe Eitz L'Chazek Sharia. These are wooden beams that are used to strengthen and support the city gates, which is similar to what we saw in the Mishnah. But as far as our Gemara is concerned, you see that payments for municipal costs are not limited to someone who has been there for 12 months. The Gemara continues, Omar Avasi, Omar Yochanan, Ki Tananami Masnis, and Shnei Masr Chodesh. When our Mishnah spoke about 12 months, Lepasio Tanan, in fact, it was for that collection. Our Mishnah is not denying that there are other kinds of municipal collections for which even less time will create an obligation. The 12-month figure was for wall gate-related collections, and for that, 12 months is the necessary time. The Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Hakol lepasiyir afilu miasmi, aval Rabbonan lo. All are to collect for the pasiyir, for strengthening the town gates, even from orphans, but not from the rabbis. The Rabbonan lo tzrichin etirusa. The rabbis do not require protection, so called artificial protection. They have protection from their Torah. Omar of Papa, Lishura, Leparshal, Letarzina, Afilu Miasmi. For these additional kinds of collections, Shura is fixing of city walls. Parshal, Rashi explains, Parash is a horse rider, Haroche Sviva Seir, Lishomra, who rides a horse around the city for guarding purposes, Leda Mahi Tricha, and to reveal what is necessary. Tarzina, Rashi says, Shomer Klei Zion Shel Bnei Ha'ir, type of armory official. He guards the town weaponry. The Yoshev Beis Eitzel Hasharani sits in a type of booth near the gate, or in a house that's located near the gate. So these costs are collected, Afilu Miasmi, even from the orphans, Avo Rabona Lo Tzrichei Netirusa. But the rabbis don't contribute to these. These are costs that are associated with town protection, and they don't need that. Klola de Milsa, the following is a rule. Kol Milsa de Is Luhu Hano Mine, all matters, all collections that result in the one who pays receiving benefit, afilu miasmi, even those collections are made even from the orphans. Rabba Roma Tzedaka Yasmi Debei Bar Miryon. Rabba levied a charity tax on the orphans of the Bar Miryon family. Omer Le Abai, Votoni Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So Abai asks, how can Rabba levy a Tzedaka tax on these orphans when you have the following source? Ein Poiskin Tzedaka Al HaYisayim Afilu Pidyon Shvuyim. One is not to levy a charity collection on orphans, even if the collection is used for redeeming captive Jews. Omar Le, so Rabbo responds, Ano lach shuvinu ko avidno. My levying of the tax upon them was to impart upon them a status of importance. The Rabbeinu Gershom at the very bottom says, Ano lach shuvinu boino, shiyu chashuvin b'chol devar mitzvah kamo avien. They should be considered of importance and significance for like their father in all matters of a mitzvah nature. The Gemara continues, Ifra Hurmez ime deshover malka. Ifra Hurmez is a reference to the mother of the Persian monarch. Mirzah Shem later we'll see in the Tesis an analysis of that name, but that woman was the mother, Ime, was the mother of Shavur Malka, Shavur King Shapur, the Persian monarch. Shadra Anaka the Dinri Likame to Rav Yosef. She sent a wallet full of coins to Rav Yosef Omra, and along with that the following request, Leve Lemitzvah Rabba, let these be for an important mitzvah. Yosef Rav Yosef Ukamayin Ba. Rav Yosef sat and analyzed my mitzvah rabba, what would be considered a great mitzvah? Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, Midatoni Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, from Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's teaching, we can discover what's considered a uniquely great mitzvah. The source we just saw, it said, Ain't place can stoka yisomim afilu pinyon shuim. We don't levy a stoka collection on orphans, even if the money is going to be used for the redemption of captive Jews. So from that expression, even for Pidyon Shvuyim Shmami, no, we can conclude, let we continue on the top of Omid Beis. Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbahi, the redemption of captive Jews must be, in fact, a great mitzvah. From where do the rabbis know, or from where do we know that which the rabbis say, that Pidyon Shvuyim is a great mitzvah? You notice that we have a long marking, a long answer. Omar Le, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Voyo kiyomru elecho, Ona neitze v'mata lehem koma Hashem asher lamoves lamoves asher lecherev lecherev asher lerov lerov asher leshvi leshvi. The pasuk describes a desperate situation where the cry is, where should we go? And he says, thusly says Hashem, those to moves death shall go to death, those that shall go to cherev, it's killing by the sword, shall go there, and those that are to be subjected to famine, and those to be sent into captivity shall go into captivity. Every calamity referred to later in the pasuk is more severe than that which preceded it. And here we go through each stage, and that's what you have. You can see we've highlighted with the double underline. Cherev koshe mimoves. The sword is considered a greater calamity than death. The iboy seimo krov, iboy seimo svara. Iboy seimo svara, if you like, will give you an analysis, a logic. High kominvel, v'hai lo kominvel. In the case of being executed by the sword. So there's a we'll call this bodily desecration. Those that die in a normal death, natural death, so there's no body desecration. V'boy yaseima akra. We have a pasuk that that illustrates that yakar bein Hashem hamavasa lachasidav. Yakar, that which is something that's desirable in the eyes of God, is if given a choice, so to speak, hamavasa, hamavasa is for moves, death, to those that are his pious ones. So that the most desirable form when a person has to go, let it be through a natural death as opposed to anything else. So we've established that cherev is worse than moves. Rov koshe mecherev, famine, dying through famine is worse than being impaled on a sword. Iboy seimos svorom, high komitzdar by low komitzdar. In the case of famine, it's a slow, painful death. As opposed to someone who is executed by the sword, it's instant, so you don't have the tsar element. Iboy eseimo kra, toivim hoyu chale cherev mechale rov. The pasuk also bears that point out, that better are those that are chalele corpses that result from being executed by the sword than those that die through famine. Shevi, captivity kosha mikulam. Shevi, captivity is worse than all of the above. Tekulu isnube, all of the different forms of suffering exist, are contained within Shevi. Rashi at the top line says, Shevi kulu isnube, shu biyad ho akum, ovdi kochavu mazolus, lasos bo kol chefzo im lamos, im lamomus, im lacherv, im larov. The one in captivity is in the hands of the idol worshippers that have captured him, and they can do with their captive Jew whatever they want. At this point, we start a general topic, and we've noted that this general topic continues to daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we call it Stoka, charity. The immediate topic we have under our Nosei heading, Hevdeilim Bein Kupa Shel Stoka L'Tamchui, differences between the money collected for charity and the tamchui, the food collection fund, or I should say the food collection. When we speak about food collection, it's actual food. And takonus shirashoyim b'nei o'ir l'sakein b'nyonei momon. Different edicts that members of a community are enabled to enact in monetary matters. Tonu rabbonan, the Gemara. Kupa shel stoka, the money collected for the charity fund, Nigves Mishnaim Mischelos Mishlosha, is collected by two. In other words, one who is, when the money is collected physically from the citizenry, two people make the collection, and the division to the needy is through three. Three sit together in deciding who gets what and how much. Nigves Mishnayim, and now the Brisa goes over these points. It's collected by two. Shein Oysen Sroros Ala Tzibur Pochs Mishnayim. Matters of authority. Sroros, like the word Sar. Sar is a minister. Acts of authority are not to be done with less than two. Umishalekis Bishlosha, division of the monies is with three. Kedine Momenis, like a court that adjudicates financial matters. You have to make decisions, financial decisions, who gets and how much, evaluate how many dependents he has, etc. Tamhui, the food collection, Nigves Bishlosha, Mishkach Bishlosha, is collected with three and is divided out with three. Shegivuya v'chaluka shovin. Rashi on the third line from the top says shegivuya, which means it's collection, chalukah, it's distribution, shaveh, b'chol yom midei yom b'yom. This is a daily collection and distribution. Therefore, we don't want the collection to be with just two, when it's a given that the distribution is needed, needs to be done with three. Shelo yitzdachu l'trach l'vakish et ha'shlishi l'chalek. so that when the distribution is done, they don't have to trouble themselves to find a third person. So right at the very outset, you have three people present for the Tamchui collection. Tamchui b'chol yom. Tamchui is a daily collection and distribution. Kupa me'erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. The kupa is from week to week, from Friday to Friday. Tamchui laniyei olam, kupa laniyei er. Tamchui is distributed to people even if they're not members of that town. The kupa, the charity, the cash fund is only for the poor of that particular town. Rashoim b'nei olir lasso is kupa tamchui v'tamchui kupa. The b'nei olir, the citizenry, has the right to convert that which was collected for the kupa and make it into a tamchui, and that which collected from for tamchui to convert it into kupa. L'shanos l'chol ma shiyirtzu, and to change it for whatever they want. Rashoim b'nei olir lahasnos al hamidos v'rashorim. The town citizenry has a right to make conditions concerning measures and prices, valschar poyalim, and on worker wages, ulasia al kitzasan, and to impose fines on those that violate that which they impose, that which they enacted. The Rashi elaborates on lahasnos al hamidos, to make conditions concerning measures, la'gdil sa'as se'ir o la'aktin. A saw is a measure, and actually you find in other places in Shas the saw of one community might in fact contain more than the saw of another community. And so Rashi makes reference to, they can make enactments that our saw is now to be increased in size or decreased. Price adjustments also is something that they can enact. Omar Mar, and we have a quote from above, Ein oisin sroos al hatzibur pos mishnayim. Acts of authority are not to be imposed with less than two. Non imili. From where do we know that? Omar Rav Nachman Amar Kra, Vehem yiklu es hazohov. The posuk makes reference to collection for the construction of the Mishkan. Srorosu de lo avdi. We should point out, by the way, that from this pasuk says vehem, that's in the plural form. So they have to make collections. So you need an act of authority whereby you make collections from the people. That's with two. Now the Gemara infers srosu delavdi, acts of authority that is not to be done less than two ha'emune mehemlin, but we will invest with trust even an individual. He can be a treasurer. The treasurer, we'll assume, is the one that after the money is collected, he supervises it, watches it. Mesayle Reb Chanina, this supports Reb Chanina, Domer Reb Chanina, Maisa Umina, Rebbe Shneyachim Alakupa. There was an incident where Rebbe appointed two brothers to be in charge of a kupa, of the charity fund. Now, you might say, but here you see two. Nevertheless, when it comes to matters of trust, for example, testimony, witnesses, two brothers are considered like one. Two brothers, for example, would not count as two witnesses. So in matters of trust, when two brothers are, as we just said, are considered like one. And hence, that's what we said, that for Nemonus, to be a gizbar, one is enough. My sarusa, with regard to the charity collection, where do you see, where do you see an act of authority associated with charity collection? The Omer of Nachman, Omer of Walafi, Shememashkin al Atstoka, the act of authority that's involved with the charity collection is in this fashion, that a charity collector can take a mashkon, collateral, from someone that doesn't come up with the cash that is necessary to be paid. And Ve'afilu Be'erev Shabbos, even on Friday when people are under a great deal of pressure, and you can, Rashi says the Balabayas can, you would think he might have an excuse, listen, don't bother me today, I'm busy preparing for Shabbos. The tax, or the charity collector, the municipal kupa collection fund, has a right to take a mashkon even on Friday. So you can see that shows that the issue of collecting for the municipal charity fund involves acts of authority. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? This pasuk from Yirmiyahu indicates that the Almighty will punish all those that are lochatzav, that apply pressure. The Yomer of Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmeda Rav Afilu al Gabo Yitztoka. This includes even those that pressure for purposes of collecting for the public charity fund. So what do you see from here? You see that it's also to lemashkein, to take collateral. Lo kashya. There is no contradiction. We saw before Rav Nachman quoting Rabba Bar Avua says that they have a right to take a mashkon, and this pasuk that says no, ha de omid, ha de lo omid. It depends. If the person is a man of wealth, then it's mutter to take the collateral to apply pressure. If he, however, is not a man of means, then the pasuk says the Almighty will seek retribution from those that do apply the pressure. Kiha the Rava Achbe the Rav Nosson Bar Hami v'Shalkumine Arba Me'azuzi Litzdaka. You see from this that it is mutter if someone is a man of means to impose a charity collection where Rava forced Rav Nosson to pay 400 zuz for tzedakah. Before we continue, we notice on the side a topic heading which reads Shvachim Hanemorim, words of praise al gaboy tzedakah mlamdei tinoikis dayonim tamidei chachomim. Now the Gemara. Famaskilim Yaziru Kizorokia. The pasuk we're analyzing is from Doniel, and you'll see different segments of the pasuk referred to. So this part refers to Ze Dayan Shadon Din Emes Lamito. This is a reference to a judge that judges in a proper, straight, honest fashion. Umatzdike Rabim Kechovim Loilom Voed. That is Elu Gaboy Tzedaka. So what we want to emphasize, even though we're not offering right now a literal translation, because the Gemara itself is explaining that Maskilim, for example, is a reference to the Dayonim. Matzdike Arabim is a reference to Gaboy Tzedaka. Regarding the Dayonim, they glow like the firmament, and the Gaboy Tzedaka are like the stars. B'masnisa Tana, in the following Tanaic source, it says, "Vamaskilim yaziru kizorakia ze dayan shadon dinemes amito v'gaboy tzedaka." In this Tanaic source, the gaboy tzedaka are grouped together with the dayonim. And what about the continuation of that pasuk? "Matzika rabin kichoyvim lolam voed elu malamde tinoikus." That's a reference to those in charge of Torah education for the children. Kagon man, what's an example of a malamed tinoikus, a malamed tinoikus, an elementary Torah educator that deserves that praise of glowing, illuminating like the stars? Oma Rav, Kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, like that well-known Talmudic figure, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the Rav Ashkehil Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Tavikoi Beginsa. Once upon a time, Rav met Rav Shmuel standing in the middle of a gina. Gina is a vegetable patch. Amalei, Rav says, Shafkisei lehemunusach, have you abandoned that which you were entrusted with? Meaning here, you're in the garden. What about the children that you're supposed to be educating? Amalei, so Rav Shmuel responds, Ho idna tleser shonin delochazili. you should note that today, 13 years have gone by that I haven't seen this vegetable patch. The Hashtanami, and even now that I'm standing here, my mind is on the children. Well, we see a person that's highly dedicated, abandoning all other concerns, even matters of what appear to be financial importance to him, in opting to dedicate himself to the Torah education of the children. Tonu Rabbonon. Rabbonon Mai, the Gemara is asking, up till now we've made reference to Dayonim and Gaboi Tzedaka and Malam De Tinoikis. What about Talmidei Chachomim that are engaged in constant Torah study? What praise is said about them? Omar Ravina, the Pasuk says, this is from a different source, from Shoftim, says, V'ohavov Kitzeis Hashemesh B'Gvuroso. Those that love God, a reference to the Talmidei Chachomim, are like the sun that shines forth in its power. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see more on this topic later in the Tosfos. Tonu Rabbonan. Here we have on the side a topic heading, Hanhogas Ruyas Legaboi Tzedaka B'Shas Kvyosan, the proper conduct and behavior of those collecting for the Tzedaka fund. The source says, Gaboi Tzedaka Einon Roshoi Lifrosh Ze Mizeh. We mentioned before that the collection is made with two. So they're not to separate one from the other. They're supposed to be together. Avol Poreh Ze Leshar Ve Ze Lechonus. Rashi adds here that this reference to they are allowed to separate one to the gate and one to the store to collect from people in those respective locations, provided the collectors are still within eyeshot of one another. Motsamois Bashuk, if a Gabai Tzedaka finds money on the floor in a market, lo yitnei besoch ki, so he shouldn't put the money into his pocket, you know, to his own pants pocket. Elo noisin lesoch arniki shel Tzedaka, he should put the money into the Tzedaka pouch, even though the money he found is rightfully his own, found money. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good if you take the you pick up money and you put it in your own pocket. People will think that the money that you're putting in your pocket are actually Tzedaka funds. So don't do something that will cause people to raise their eyebrows. Rather, the money that you find, put it into the Tzedaka pouch. And when you get home, yitlaim, and then take it for yourself at home. Kayotse bo. Similarly, hoya noishe bechavero mone. A charity collector happened to have a personal debt to collect from someone that borrowed money from him. Uporoi bashuk, and he met the borrower who paid the Gabai Tzedaka in the public. He paid him in public. So we say, lo yitnenu l'soki. So don't take the money that he just paid you and put it into your own pocket. Elo noisin l'soich arniki shel Tzedaka. Put it in the Tzedaka pouch. Uchshiyavu l'beis yitlim. And when you get home, then you take it for yourself. Tonu Rabbonan. Gaboi Tzedaka. She'ein lohem aniyim l'chalek. People who collected cash. But at that point, they didn't have any poor. The city was in good financial shape. There were no poor amongst whom to distribute the money. Let us point out that the monies collected were often look like small change, and the small change were copper coins. The nature of copper coins is such that if you leave them for an extended period of time, they can end up corroding. So it's important in a situation like this to convert them, to change them for a different type of a coin made of a different metal, silver, for example. That process is called portin. So gaboi tzedaka that don't have aniyim amongst whom to distribute the cash that they collected, portin lachir vein portin latzmon. They make this cash conversion from copper to silver, and they do that with others. They go to, well, say, an official money changer. They shouldn't do it with themselves. If they have their own copper, their own silver coins, they shouldn't make the exchange with themselves. People will think that the public will think, if they see that, they'll think that the Gabay Tzuka is giving himself an awfully good deal. In other words, ripping off the Stokofan. Gaboy Tamhui. Here we're dealing with those that made collection of ready food. She'ein lemanim l'chalek. They don't have, let's say they don't have the poor amongst to distribute the ready-made food. What are you supposed to do? You can't store the ready-made food for any amount of time. So mochim achirim, you sell it to others. V'ein mochim asim, they shouldn't sell it to themselves. Once again, the chashad that they're going to be selling it to themselves at a too highly discounted rate. Moishel stoka ein moinen oisan shtayim shtayim elo achas achas. When counting money collected for the charity, you don't count them in twos, 2, 4, 6, 8. Count them coin by coin, one by one. And Rashi explains, Ein moinen oisan shtayim shtayim pen yomru shnayim hu no tail v'eino mone elo echad. He's putting aside two, but he's only counting it as one. We have a double underline marking, and on the side we indicate Abai Mitair Hanagosef Shel Rabo. Abai will describe the different conduct or behavior of Rabo. Omar Abai Mireish Lo Havi Yosef Mor. Mor is a reference to Rabo. At the beginning, Rabo would not sit Atzifi de Bei Kenishta on mats of the synagogue, shul mats. And why did he avoid sitting on the shul mats? Because they were bought with money of the kupa of tztoka. Kevan deshama laha desanya, but when he heard the following Tanaic source, we have a star, you can see a parallel star above. When he discovered the brisa that says Ulishanos l'chomashi yirtze, Havi Yosef, that the town folks have a right to make decisions concerning the charity collection and change it for whatever they want. So the Rabo then decided, I have a right to sit on those mats, even though the initial purchase was with charity funds. Omar Abai, Mireish Havi Ovid Mor Trey Kisi. At the beginning, Rabo had two pouches, chadlani d'almo, chadlani d'maso, one for local poor and another pouch for the general poor. Kevon d'shama l'ha d'yomar lo Shmuel l'rav tachliva barav d'imi. When he heard that which Shmuel said to Rav Tachlifa, what did Shmuel say to Rav Tachlifa? Ovid Chad Kisa. We continue at the top of Daf Tes. Shmuel said to Rav Tachlifa, make one pouch. V'asni Allah. They're at the top of Daf Tes. V'asni Allah. Make a stipulation, a condition with the Tzibor to have the right to divide the money, to distribute money even to people coming from the outside. So when Rabba heard that, Ihu Nami Ovid Chad Kisa V'asni Allah, he also used only one pouch for the charity collection and made that stipulation. Ravashi Omar, Ano Asni Nami Lo Tzarichno, I don't even have to make a stipulation. The Chol Deka Osi, all those that come and give me money, and Ravashi was in charge of a charity fund, all those that come to give me money, adaito didi osi, they're giving it with the understanding that I will make the decisions concerning the distribution, ulaman deboino yahiv nole, and to whom I should decide, I will distribute. So there's no additional necessity of a stipulation that needs to be made. At this point, we turn our attention to the Tosfos on Daf Ches Omer Aleph. Dibur Masu Ifra. We saw in our Gemara that Ifra Hormiz, the king mother, the mother of King Shafur, sent money to Rav Yosef and said, use it for a great mitzvah. And here, as we may have, I think we mentioned earlier, that we're going to be looking into the name. So on the side, by the way, we have a little taktir, a summary of the Tosfos, which reads, Pirush Umashmos Hashem Ifra Hormiz. We'll be explaining and giving meaning to that particular name. In addition, you'll see diamonds in this Tosfos. They highlight the words Ifra and the word Hormiz, the two parts of her name. So Tosfos says, Ifra Hormiz, Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel, the Mashmois Haloshen Chain Meis Hamokom, grace from the Almighty. Ifra Kamo Apirion Nimte LeRabbi Shimon. For the word Ifra, you can see has similarity or is the same root as the word Apirion, which means words of praise. In that particular citation, words of praise are due to Rabbi Shimon. So Ifra has to do with grace and praise. Hormiz, that word, Shem Shechina, is a reference to the divine presence. And the basis for that, Tosfos cites, Ki Ahi, the So Perek Echodini Momenis, at the end of that Perek in Sanhedrin, which is entitled Echodini Momenis. You'll see here Tosfos quotes from that Gemara. And here we're not going to give the background, but in that Gemara it says, Mipalgo didach uliel de Hormiz. From your midsection upwards is Hormiz, and Tosfos points out that's with a Zion. Mipalgo ulatachas the Hormin, and from your midsection below is under the control of Hormin with a benun, with a nun. So we have one word Hormiz ending with a Zion, another word Hormin ending with a nun. And that Hormin is the name of a mazik, a shade, a demon. Kamo Hormin bar Lilta. You can see that come on later in this Masechta, Daf Ayin Gimel. So the name Ifra Hormiz is a compound or is a name that involves grace from the divine presence, we'll say. The next Tosfos, which is found in the Gemara, the last of the narrow lines, Yonison ben Amram said to Rebbe, "Feed me like kekelev ukaorev, kamo shapirish akuntris." And Tosfos says that to appreciate that, you use the Rashi pshat. So let us do that. Let us go back to Daf Ches Omer Aleph in Rashi. Kikelev uchoyrev, shechosa kodesh boruch aleim. The Almighty has special compassion for these creatures, the dog and the raven. Shenemar yodea tzadik din dalim. The righteous one knows the needs of the impoverished. That's a reference to the Almighty and his awareness of the dalim, of the poor. Why these particular animals, the kelev and the orev? The fi shah kelev mizaynoisov mu'atin. The dog has we'll call it limited food, and lefikach shoya achilas v'meiav shloishes yomim. Therefore, the Almighty has arranged that food is slowly digested by the dog. It stays in his innards 3 days. The Gabi Orev, and regarding that creature, Ksiv Livnei Orev Asher Yikro. The Bnei Orev, the little birds, the chicks of the Orev that call out. What is that a reference to? Lefisha Orev Avzori Al Bonov. The parent Orev is harsh with regard to its own offspring, and it doesn't care for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmalem Yitushin Mitoch Tzayosam V'Yotlin, and the Almighty causes Yitushin, small insects to emerge from their dung, from their waste, and they have that as food. So that Tosfos says that in order to appreciate what what Yonis and Ben Amram was saying was have compassion on me like God has compassion on these hapless creatures. The Tosfos continues, "V'hainu dichtiv noisein lebehema lachmo livnei oire v'asher yikro." And in that pasuk, the word behema appears. Begematria is 52 kelev. It has the same numerical value as the word kelev. So that the pasuk that describes the Almighty as distributing food, as taking care of the food needs, no sein la behema, it's as if it's saying God gives special food, a special care for the behema, the dog. And the Bnei Orev, that's explicit. We continue with the next Tosfos. Dibur Masel Yosef, which corresponds to the Gemara two lines from the bottom. Yosef Rav Yosef Komayin Ba. Before we go into the text itself, on the side we have a taktzir, an abbreviated form, or a concise form of this Tosfos. Lahasbir Eich Rav Yosef Kibel Aksofim May Ifrahum. As we need to explain, how is it that Rav Yosef accepted the money from Ifrahum? Shoisa Goya, she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile woman. Father Bohem Shivuyim, and he used that money to redeem Jewish captives. Very Bekach Iknolos Chus, with that he imparted to her merit. Bizman Shekosuv, when on the other hand the Pasuk says, Biyovesh Kitsira Tishabernov. Which we learn from that, Shirak Shetichle Zchuyesem Shelagoyim, that only when the merits of the idol worshippers diminishes, expires, then Yavo Aleim Hashvira, then their destruction comes upon them, the destruction of the idol worshippers. So that here, Rav Yosef, by taking money from this Goya, was granting her merit, and with that, it prolongs their superiority or their authority over us, and that's not to our interest. Now we turn to the Tosfos, but pointing out, by the way, that you'll see a marking that comes along the way, a house marking highlighting the terms aniye and shivuye akum. We'll see a distinction made between the poor and the captive idol worshippers. I should point out, according to the first teretz in the Tosfos, Rav Yosef redeemed Shvuye Akum. According to the second teretz, according to the Maharam's explanation, he redeemed Shvuye. Only Shvuye Yisrael. So now the Tosfos. Yosef Rav Yosef Ukamayin Bo V'im Tomar. You might ask, how can Rav Yosef have taken the money V'chiles Lei B'yovesh K'sir Tishavarna? With the drying, literally of the drying of the branch, it then breaks, which we explained when the Goyim no longer have any merits, then they break. Kinamrinon bepirkin, as we will see later on Daf Yudam Beis. So how do we justify Rav Yosef's conduct in taking the money, giving them merit? The Yesh Lomar, the Kiblom Mishum Shalom Malchus, he had to take the money in order to preserve peace with the ruling authority. One cannot subject subject the Jewish people to danger based on whatever consideration there may be, therefore he had to take the money. Kid'ovad Rava Lekamon, just like Rava, we see later, he too received money from the Goya. and on the grounds of Shalom Malchus. And just like in that story, Daf on Daf Yud, Rava distributed the money to the poor amongst the idol worshippers, we can understand the level of merit in doing so is much less, if at all, than if Rava had distributed the money to impoverished Jews. So just like Rava, though he took the money, but he, by taking the money and then distributing it amongst the impoverished idol worshippers, he wasn't granting them additional merit. Hachanami, so to Rav Yosef behaved similarly. Poda b'hu Rav Yosef shvuye oyde kechavim. Rav Yosef, according to this approach, he was well aware of the problem of the Yavesh Ksirat Yishavarna, and therefore he accepted the money, but he redeemed captive idol worshippers, thereby not causing added merit to the Goya. Umihu lo tzrifi lahachi. Here the Tosfos has an alternative approach, that this explanation is not necessary. Ela kidepiresh akuntris, but rather as Rashi explains, the Rav Yosef de kibla mishum shalom malchus. Rav Yosef, who had accepted the money, he accepted it in order to preserve good relations with the government authority. So he in that sense, he had to accept the money. Otherwise, as we said before, he might have endangered the Jewish community. So he had to cooperate, accept the money. And the kevon sha'amar lo litein lemitzvah rabo, and since it was said to him, probably the girsa should be sha'amra, since she said to him, use this, I'm sending this money to you for a great mitzvah. He couldn't have done like was suggested in our first answer, he couldn't have used the money to distribute it amongst the poor idol worshippers, but he had to use the money for redeeming captives. Why? It is prohibited to mislead those, even if they happen to be idol worshippers. We refer to that as Genevas Das. And the Maram elaborates here, and once she said, use this for a great mitzvah, Rav Yosef concluded that has to be redeeming of captives, pidyon shvuyim. And since, the Maram explains, and since it wasn't a normal or regular behavior of Jews to redeem captive idol worshippers, she did not have that in mind. When she sent the money and said, use this for a great mitzvah, she didn't have in mind that he would use it to redeem captive idol worshippers. And if he would have done that, if he would have redeemed captive idol worshippers, that would have been Genevas Das. But in the story involving Rava, Mois HaMishalkim Laniyim, when it came to the monies that were sent to Rava, and in that story, the money was not sent with the instruction, use it for a great mitzvah. Money was sent to Rava, he accepted the money, and what did he do? He distributed the money to poor idol worshippers. Ein kan Genevas Das. There's no element of Genevas Das. The Inunami Yadi, the Goyim themselves know, Shisrael Regilim Lefarnasam, Jews support the poor, even if they happen to be non-Jews. Kida Omar Bahanizokin, Mefarnasim Aniye Akumim Aniye Yisrael Mipnei Darkei Shalom. The Gemara in Gittin says that we support. We are expected to offer charity to the poor idol worshippers, together with poor Jews, in order to preserve proper relations between the governing authority, so that the Jews deal with all poor in, we'll say, in an equal form, no distinction, no, let's say, no double standard, and that point, since that was well known, that's in contrast with the issue of pidyon shvuyim, as the Maram explained before. There, the goyim don't expect Jews to. There's no expectation of Jews to redeem captive idol worshippers. Now, Tosfos makes reference to a Gemara in Erechin. V'had the kibel mahu taya de nodav shrogel lebekinish to the perakama Erechin. We see the receipt from an Arab who donated a candelabra to a synagogue, and that story is featured in the first parak of Erechin. Even though there was no issue of Sholem Achus, the Arab was not a government authority. He wasn't a governmental minister. Why is it that they accepted the candelabra donation there? So Tosfos explains, Hasam taimo mishum dahave kamo korban, that donations to synagogues are categorized together with sacrifices. And based on the pasuk ish ish, we learn l'rabbis nochem shenoydrim nedarim and davus kisrael, that non-Jews are able to vow and dedicate sacrifices to the Beis Hamikdash just like Jews. And in terms of, in general terms, we're not getting involved, we're not making reference to specific kinds of sacrifice, but in general, just like Jews can offer sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash, non-Jews also are, their sacrificial offerings are accepted by the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore, the acceptance of the donation of the Hayutaya, that Arab who was Nodav Shraga to the Beit Kenishta, was accepted on the same grounds. We now continue with the Tosfos on Daf Ches Omid Beis. Dibur HaMaschil Pidyon, the top Tosfos, Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabah. We mentioned earlier that the money that was sent to us to Rav Yosef, along with the instructions, use it for Mitzvah Rabah. And the Gemara concluded that Pidyon Shvuyim is the great mitzvah. V'Hodomar Perek B'Perek B'nei Ho'ir. It says in Maseches Megillah, in that Perek B'nei Ho'ir, Ein Moichon Sefer Torah Elo Lumi Torah V'Lisa Isha. The sale of a Sefer Torah is forbidden unless the money is needed for Torah study or for marriage. That would indicate that Luma Torah and Lisa Isha are considered exceptionally important mitzvahs, and only for those can a Sefer Torah be sold. V'lo katoni pidyon shvuyim. It doesn't say the money that a Sefer Torah can be sold for the purpose of getting money to redeem captive Jews. So that would seem to be against our Gemara that described Pidyon Shvuyim as a mitzvah rabbah. So Tosfos explains, Shemo milsa d'pshitahi. It might be that the Gemara in Megillah didn't have to spell that out because it's obvious. Therefore, it was unnecessary to teach that as an additional reason for selling a Sefer Torah. We continue with Tosfos u'Mishalekes. This refers to the Gemara 17 lines from the top. Dealing with the laws of Gaboi Tzedaka, we said it's collected with two, Mishalekes b'shloshim b'nei shikadine momenes, and it's divided with three. Three oversee the distribution of the charity fund. The Im Tomar, you might ask, Mehai Taimon Amite Nigves Bishlosha. Well, with this idea that the charity funds are treated like Dine Momenes, should it not also be collected by three? maybe we didn't emphasize earlier, but Maseches Sanhedrin has Mishnayos that dictate the number of judges needed for different kinds of court cases, and for financial matters, Dine Momenus are Bishlosha, are overseen or adjudicated by three. So if you're telling me the distribution of the charity funds is like Dine Momenus, and then we need three, why not the same with regard to the collection? Upirish Rabbeinu Tam, Lefishoyo Dua, Schum, Shel, Kol, Echod, Vechod, Kamo, Itain. The amount, the schum, the amount that each person was expected to contribute was known. It was not something that needed any discussion. So you wouldn't categorize it as a court case where the judges need to analyze something. When it comes to distribution, that's something that can change on a weekly basis. Number of people that are dependents, financial status, do you really need the money? How much do you need? That's something that's fluid. But as far as amount, each one was expected to give, assuming that people had a regular ongoing income, fairly standard income, it was known at the outset how much each person was what had to give. Hence, you don't need three for the initial collection. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Ulishanosa. We saw a Braisa that says that the Bnei Oir, 24 lines from the top, they can decide the eventual use of the collected funds, and it said Ulishanosa L'chol Mashiyutzu, they can decide to use it for whatever they want. We have a taksir on the side that reads as follows. Rabbeinu Tam Masbir, Rabbeinu Tam will explain that Heter Shikotoni Lishanos Kesef Anigve Litzdoka L'chomashiyutzu. The idea of changing the use of the money that was initially connected for Tzedakah for whatever they want, Kelo Af L'dvar Rishus, that includes even for matters that are not mitzvah related, even for optional matters. Avol Magbil heterzeh rak kishu alpi bnei oir, velo alpi hagaboyim. This heter, however, is limited if the decision is made by the citizenry of the town, not a decision made by the actual charity collectors, the gaboyim. The Tosfos l'shanosu l'chol mashi yirtzu nireh l'rabbeinu tam diyachilim l'shanosu af l'dvar rishus. The monies can be changed even for non-mitzvah purposes, for general needs. Afagav, the Amrim be'erech and perek kamo, even though it was said in the first perek of Maseches Erech, and Haiman de Nodav Shrogel Lebeik Nishta, also l'shanosu l'dvar rishus, someone who dedicated a candelabra to a synagogue, it cannot be used for other matters, for optional matters. It must be used for the synagogue. V'yomernami hosam, a reputa zulit stoka, and it also says an erichin, one who vows to give this particular coin to charity. Initially, I want to skip the next line to continue. Mishebo liad hagabai osur lishanosa. The reason I skipped because I wanted to get immediately to this point where it's the Gemara says it's forbidden to change it. But once the pruta that you vowed to stoka reaches the hands of the gabai tzedaka, it cannot be changed to other things. Now let me reread those lines. The Omar Nami Hosam Ha'imer Pruta Zu L'tzedaka, one who vows to give a particular coin to tzedaka, Ad Shelo Bali De'a Gabai Mutar L'shanos, until it reaches the hands, before it reaches the hands of the actual collector, you can change it for other things, to use it for other things. However, Mishibali Yada Gabai also L'shanos, you cannot change its purpose, its use. And how then can Rabbeinu Tam say that it can be changed, the money collected for tzedakah can be changed even for Dvar HaRishulis? So Tosfos explains, Hacha shebnei ho'ir mishan mosa shiny. In our Gemara, where it's the town citizenry that's deciding the alternative use, that's different. Lefikach muter l'shanosa afilu l'dvar rishus v'afilu bo liyad agabai. With our markings, we're trying to emphasize the points of contrast with that which was cited in the Gemara in Erechin. Since here you're dealing with the Bnei Oir and not the Gabai Tztoka, but it's the town citizenry, there's a heter to change it. Even once it reached the hands of the collectors, it's mutter to change it, even for Dvar Rishus. V'chein hoya Rabbeinu Tam noeg lo seis mois ha-kupo l'shomer eir. Rabbeinu Tam himself had this practice. Apparently he was in charge of tztoka monies, and he took tztoka monies and gave it to Shomrei Oir, the town guards, the Fisha al das Bnei Oir noisim oisam. It was the monies that were given with the assumed approval of the town's people. So he was Rabbeinu Tam was we'll say acting upon the acceptance of the Bnei Oir, and hence he was able to redirect monies collected initially for tztoka to the Shomrei Oir. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur Maschil Ki. It relates to the Gemara the third of the wide lines. Kiha de Rava Achbe, we saw that Rava had forced Rav Nosson to pay 400 shekel to tztoka. You might ask, but how can he make a tztoka collection on his own? We said tztoka is collected with two, and in the Gemara, in the story, it seems it's only Rava, or he's by himself. So Tosfos points out, Achir Hoya Imo, there was someone else with Rava. Acts of authority are not done on in the public with less than two. For lo choshev lehi, the person accompanying Rava was not mentioned by name, but nay kvoidoi shel Rava, out of respect to Rava. Rava was a towering figure, and to mention someone of less significance along with Rava would have diminished the COVID due to Rava, and hence that other person wasn't mentioned in the Gemara. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur Maschil Achbe. This refers to the incident we just mentioned on the third of the wide lines, Achbe le Rabbi Nosson. We have on the side we have a taktsir and also a mivne, structural note. Throughout this Tosfos, you'll notice there are house shapes. Chuvos lahasbir, these are answers, explanations to explain. Hanhogas Rava klapi Rav Nosson shekofu lo sei tztoka. Rava forced Rav Nosson to give the tztoka. Bizman shelechor lo haya tzorach lekach. At first glance, it would appear that there was no need for Rava to be koyfe, to force him. In the Torah, when the Torah describes the mitzvah tztoka, it also mentions in a reward for those who fulfill the mitzvah tztoka. Ubekach ein bezen shomata muzhorin olea, and as such, it's a unique kind of mitzvah. Mitzvah that's the mitzvah is written in the Torah along with the reward. And as such, the Bezen Shamata, the earthly court, is not Muzar. I'm not going to translate that word because I want to wait for Tosfos to deal with that. Bezen Shamata is not Muzar Alel, Lichbois, to force it, to impose it. Now the Tosfos. Tosfos opens up with a long question. Dibur Maschil Achbe Rav Nosson V'im Tomar, you might ask, V'ha v'perakol ha-bosar, in perakol ha-bosar in Chulin, Omar, it says, Kol mitzvah saseh, Shematan schor ha-ksuba b'tzida, all positive commands, that the Torah not only states the command, but also Matan schor, the reward, is written next to it, Ein bezen shel matem uzhoran olea, the earthly court is not muzar. The gabi tztoka ksiv, and regarding tztoka, which is our topic, it says ki pasach tiftach his yod chaloi uksiv ki beglala dovazi yivorechacha. The pasuk refers to opening your hand to give the charity, and because if you do it, you get a bracha. That's the reward. So that having been said, Bezen Shamata isn't muzar leil. So what was the urgency, we'll say, on Rava's part to be Kaifa Reb Nosson? V'yom Rabbeinu Tam, the high kfiya bedvorim, the kfiya of Rava was with words. He implored upon him to give the tzedakah verbally, as opposed to the reference to the Gemara in Chulin, when you have a mitzvah where there's no reward written alongside it, then that will involve physical force to fulfill the mitzvah. So that a mitzvah that matan schara betzida, no physical force is to be imposed, but verbal pressure, like Rava did, that is acceptable. And now the term kafye bedvorim, knows even though our Gemara didn't say verbal, it said achbe, Rava forced. However, achbe forcing can also mean with words, kamo kafye Rav Papa le Rav Yehuda ve'ol. The Perek Na'arash and Ispata in Maseches Ksubas, there is a story, we don't have to get into the details of the story. However, in that story, Rav Papa prevailed upon Rav Yehuda with words. Kafye Rav Papa le Rav Yehuda. He forced him, but means he prevailed upon him with words, ve'ol vol, and with Rav Papa's pressure, Rav Yehuda entered the scenario described over there. The ode tirates the hacha. Another approach is that here in Rava's community, kiblu alem shiachufo son hagabai. There was a communal acceptance that the gabai is entitled to force them. According to this teretz, it seems that if there's communal acceptance, even stronger methods of pressure can be imposed, even though it's a mitzvah asei shema'an zchor b'tzida. That's because of kiblu aleihem. Ulari nira debitztoka kaifin. According to the Ri, when it comes to tztoka, actual physical force can be imposed, not just influential, persuasive talk, but actual force. Mishum the isbe lav, because tzedakah is not just a positive command; it entails a negative command as well. Dichtiv ba, in with regard to tzedakah, the pasuk says lo saametz es levavcha velo sikpoitz v'chule. Do not withhold. Withhold your heart and your hand from giving tzedakah. So this low, you can see low, a negative command is involved, and as a result, actual kfiya, actual force can be imposed. Ula ritzba nireh, the ritzba explains, daha diein beizdin muzharin namis seisha matan schara betzida, she matan schara ksuva betzida. The Ritzba explains that Gemara in Chulin that speaks about positive commands whose reward is written together with them, Bezin is not muzer. Hainu de'ein ne'noshin. Bezin is not muzer means Bezin is not punished. They're not punished if they do not impose force. However, that doesn't exempt the court from imposing force. All that the Gemara is saying, that if they don't impose the force, so they're not punished for it. And if that be the case, we understand Rava, who forced Rav Nosson to to give the tzedakah, even if it's in a forceful fashion. This explanation is found in the Maharam. Tosfos continues, V'chein mashma b'Yerushalmi da'moichres ha'sfina. Likewise, in the Yerushalmi, in Perek Moichres ha'sfina of Bava Basra, the Yerushalmi, v'ahi d'chol ha'basar, and also in Chulin, what do you find there? An individual that was not fulfilling kibud av aim. The lo have a moikir avua. He wasn't mechabed his father. And kibud horim, kibud av aim is a mitzvah shem anzchor betzida. Leman yirbuyu mechem. You have there's a. I should say, do you have extended life? V'koftuhu v'omar lehu shavkuhu, and they in that Gemara you can see they imposed force upon him, and it was said, leave him be. Hachi pirusho, einchem muzhorin lachrichoi ad shiase. You're not muzhar. Notice we've dashed on the line that word. That's the key word. You're not muzar to force him until he fulfills the mitzvah. Kishar mitzvah say, in contrast to other positive commands that don't have the matan schar betzida. De'im omar le ase suka v'lulav v'yeno oise. If someone you see is not fulfilling mitzvah suka or lulav, makin oise atche teitze nafsho. He can be beaten until he dies, until the breath of life departs. Kinomar Ba'koisev, as is spelled out in Maseches Ksubas. With regard to a mitzvah say that Matan Schora is Ksuva Betzida, nevertheless, some force is necessary. That's the difference between mitzvah saseh sheman schar betzida, as the Ritzbah explained, that when we say ein bezin muzharim la, means bezin will not be punished if they don't do anything. However, they are expected to do something, and that do something is in fact includes imposing force. However, it's not the same level of force that can be imposed regarding mitzvah say she'ein matan schora ksuva betzida. We continue now with Tosfos Divrei Masel Din Emes, a reference to the that which you see in the Gemara, fifth of the wide lines. In the different praises that were said, so we saw the praise said for a dayan that's don din emes lamito. There's a double expression, emes and lamito, for judges who judge honestly in honesty. Well, that's a literal translation, but what do these words mean? So Tosfos says din emes lamito, emes, that word, lafuke din meruma. That's to the exclusion of a din ruma, means would be a case that seems to be crooked. Afagaf shoedim meiden oisai. You can have a situation where the judges hear testimony from witnesses that claim one thing, but the judges know how they know is not really important for us right now, but they know there's something crooked here. So the judges, upon hearing the testimony, ein mechatchem oisoi, they're not to conclude the case strictly based on the testimony. Kivon shiyodim shemeshakrim, the judges in this case know that they are lying. The darshinon, as is explained there in Maseches Shavuos, and the dayan has no right to exempt himself, in other words, to listen to the testimony and rule strictly according to the testimony, claiming that, well, you know, I know that it's crooked, but the witnesses are testifying, and I'll issue a verdict based on their testimony, and if anyone has to bear guilt, let the burden of guilt be upon the necks of the witnesses. That is not so. And hence we say the judge must don din emes, an honest verdict, and not a verdict based strictly on lying witnesses. The other term, la'amito, what does that mean? Shelo yatu es hadin. They shouldn't, yatu means to lean, lean in one direction over the other because of, let's say, some kind of external considerations, mercifulness for a poor defendant, or what have you, even though we're not talking here about an actual lie, but nevertheless a type of verdict that's influenced by additional considerations other than, we'll say, strictly legal considerations. That's what is meant by a din. That's not only emes, but it's li'amito, where there's no hatoyas adin. We continue with the Tosfos Dimur Masul Umatzdike. This is a reference to the Gemara that we saw praising the different individuals. And the wide line 6-7, the 6-7th wide line of the Gemara. We saw psukim, parts of the pasuk quoted, where it began by saying v'hamaskilin. The Dibur Masel printed in the Gemara is umatzdike rabba, but I want to read, before we get to those words, the earlier part of the pasuk. V'hamaskilim yazhiru kezohar horokia ze gaboi stoka umatzdike horabim kekechavim li'olam voed elu melamde tinoikos. Before we continue with the text of the Tosis, we have a taktzir, and let's read it together. The Re Masbir de Rokia de Musker Eitzel Gaboitstoka. The Posek had said, Hamaskilim Yaziru Kizor Rokia Ze Gaboitstoka. That Rokia mentioned by the Gaboitstoka, Meir Yoiser, glows more Mikrechovim Hamuskorim Eitzel Lamdi Tinoikis. Has a stronger glow, provides more light, if you will. When we speak about these light levels, stronger glow, etc., we're talking about greater praise versus lesser praise, so that the praise of the Zorakia that's stated by the Gabbai Tzedoka is greater than the light, the praise of the glow of the stars mentioned in the context of Lamed Tinoikis, based on a Gemara that Tosfos will quote in Maseches Psachim. Later in the Tosfos, the Riva will Mesader Ramos Shoinos Shel Eros Shel Shemesh Akshurim Lanoshim Misyomim. He'll establish a hierarchy of light levels associated with the sun as relates to different people. Now let's go back to the Tosfos. Omer Ri the Tzorech Lomar the Rokia Mazhir Tfei Mikachovim. The term Rokia that we saw associated with the Gabbai Tzedoka glows more than Kechavim that was stated in the context of Lamed Tinoikis. The those in charge of teaching the children Torah. And why is that? From where do we know that Gabbai Tzedoka is on a higher level than Lamed Tinoikis? The obviously Perek Elu Oivrim. At the end of Perek Elu Ovrim in Masechet Psachim, Mashma, the Gaboi Tzedoka Adifim Lamed Tinoikis, that there's greater praise or a higher level associated with the Gaboi Tzedoka more than a Lamed Tinoikis. The Omar, there it says, in the more there deals with finding a a bride for finding a woman to marry, and it says Lo Motza Bas Talmud Chacham Yisa Bas Gabei Tzok. If you can't find the daughter of a Torah scholar, so your next best choice, second to the best, is the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah. And we note that we saw before Rokia mentioned together with Gabbai Tzedakah. Lo Motza Bas Gabbai Tzedakah Yisa Bas Melamed Tinekes. If you can't find the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah, so then your third choice would be the daughter of Melamed Tinekes, we associated before with Kechavim. The Omer Riva, Ki Motza B'Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, the Riva notes that he found in the Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, the Rokia, the High Craw, Vamaskilim, Yaziru, Kezora, HaRokia, that the Rokia mentioned there, Hainu Rokia Sha'al Roshe Hachayas, Shemazhirin Mikaychovim, Sha'eroi Ke'or Hachama. Well, these are ideas that I would classify in the realm of the mystical, but we'll translate, understanding that there's another dimension of understanding due to such gemaras. The rokia mentioned in the context of the Gabbai Tzedakah is a rokia. Rokia has to do with the heavens, the firmament that's above. The Chayas is a reference to holy bodies, holy figures that operate in the heavenly, amongst the heavenly hosts, in the Tzva Shamayim. Those are the Chayas. We say V'alfanim V'chayas HaKadosh in our tefillah, in our davening. So the Rokia mentioned in the Pasuk is a Rokia above the Chayas that Shemazhirin, that glow more than the Kechavim. Now, the Kechavim there that we associate with the Mlamde Tinaikis, Sha'ayrai Ke'or Hachama, whose light is like the light of the sun. Vehai Dekomar Verabonan Mai. The Gemara had asked, after hearing the praise of the Dayonim and the Mlamni Tinekis and the Gabbai Tzedakah, what about Tamidei Chachamim? Omer Avina V'Avov Kitzeis HaShemesh. So now, we've done with our markings. We've highlighted the word Chama with a house marking. And the word Shemesh. Chama and Shemesh are words that in English you would translate as the sun. But you'll see here that you can't leave that simple translation because you have two different references. So you have the Or HaChama, which was referred to just before in the context of the Rokia of the Gabbai Tzedakah, and the Rabbonan, which are on a higher pedestal, which you even saw from the Gemara cited in Psachim. We asked, well, what about them? And Ravina said, they are like the Kitseis HaShemesh. Which Shemesh are you referring to there? Hainu Shemesh Shel Osid Lovoi. That's the Shemesh, the sun of the future, the future world. Dehu Shivasayim Ka'or Shivas Hayomim. Which is Shivasayim. The word Shivasayim would mean at least seven times. Maybe it means multiples of seven, but it's seven times more than the or of the Shiva Sayamim, of the or that was present in the days of creation. The or Shiva Yemei Bracious Hoya Shiva Sayami or Chamo Shelachshov, and the or, the light of the days of creation was Shivasayim seven or multiples of seven greater than today's sun. So you have a hierarchy here of we'll say references to Shemesh. You have the Shemesh L'Osid Lavoi. We saw that associated with the Rabbonan. We have the Or of the Shivas Yemei Bracious, and that is seven times more than the Chama of now. And then you have the Chama of now, which might be the Chama that was referred to by the Gabbai Tzedakah. But that maybe is subject to some further analysis. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.